Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I think it would be good to get to understand how it would work now when there isn't a problem, because it's easier because you have time. You could do it on a weekend morning. There's no emergencies. Everything's running smoothly. This is the time to like know the plan.
We have a super exciting episode coming out today, and it's a long one. So I broke it into two parts. So one part is going to be about her finances, her and her husband. And then the second part is going to be about her parents' finances. So this is a great one to listen to if you think that you are going to be helping your parents as they get older, or if, God forbid, they're sick and you're helping to care for them now. There is a lot that we go over. So this is a great episode, and it's going to be two parts. So part one will be today, and then Friday the 18th, and then next week will be the second part.
Hello, and welcome to Financials Podcast Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I am super excited for our guest today. I'd like to welcome May to the show. Hi, May.
Hi, good morning.
So, May, I have to tell you, I got your submission and was like, we have to get you on immediately.
Yeah, there's a little bit going on in my life.
Yeah. So why don't we start with the basics, and then if you could kind of tell us what's happened over the last, I think it's 2 to 3 years, so that our listeners can hear, and then we'll kind of dive into it. But start with maybe like how old you are, where you live, and income, and then we'll go into what's going on in your life.
Sure. Awesome. Well, I'm using the name May, and I am located in a suburb of Kansas City. So I live on the Kansas side, and I am 36 years old. I'm recently married. I got married last September, so we're coming up on the 1 year, which is exciting.
Very exciting. September what?
September 24th. Yeah. So we're cresting the curve.
Yeah. Oh, very nice. That's exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. And we bought our house about a year ago in July. So we've kind of got a lot of things happening at once there. And I'm currently working as a paralegal. I work for a nonprofit firm, which is kind of one of my questions for you later on today is about my student loans and managing those. And income-wise, I am currently at about $45 per year. And then my spouse, one of our plot twists is he was recently laid off at the end of June. So we've kind of had a break with his income. The good news is I'm happy to report that he was recently hired on by a new company. So he'll start after Labor Day, and his salary will be $74.
Oh, amazing. Okay, great. Wow, God, that's an introduction to marriage, huh? You know, buy a house, get married, and then lose your job.
Right. Yeah, it was unanticipated, as I think it is for most people. And I think for us, it really is a blessing in disguise. It's giving him, I think, some new breathing room. So I'm grateful, honestly, at the end of the day.
And then, what does he do for work?
So he is in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. So he does like estimating, kind of project management. And I think this new position will kind of be a hybrid of the two of those.
Amazing. Well, good. That must be, I'm sure it was a blessing in disguise. And usually those sort of things, and you look back on them in hindsight, because hindsight's always 20/20, you know, right. It was for a good reason. But it's always difficult in the moment.
I think so. And I feel like the new company, just the benefits are 10 times better. And he'll get to work from home, which will be interesting. So, you know, there's a lot of new and good things on the horizon.
Oh, good. And then how was it? So weddings are expensive. Mortgages are expensive. So yes. How is it covering the mortgage with one income?
Right. So hopefully, thankfully, we're only going to have to do that for, let's see, July, August, and then he'll be getting paychecks in September.
So okay.
That's so really, mm-hmm, yeah.
And you have an emergency fund to, well, we could use for that?
Sort of. So that's kind of one of my questions is we do have, we've started to build up an emergency fund, and I actually, we opened a SoFi account together recently because I loved their vault structure to be able to see where things can go in terms of savings. And so we thankfully haven't had to pull from that because we've just kind of paid down the mortgage and these other expenses for this time in between just from our normal funds. But now those are pretty much depleted. So we are potentially looking at needing to use those savings.
Okay. And yeah, and it's not terribly long. So that's good.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Okay. And then you have some other plot twist as well.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I found your show, Barbara, probably about 3 months ago, and I really just dived in and listened to some of the older episodes and, of course, the newer ones. And what brought me to your show is in 2021, my parents had some health crises occur, and my dad was fairly ill. And then my mom had a stroke that left her with some aphasia and really just kind of an inability to problem solve and kind of manage complex mm-hmm. issues. So kind of overnight, their financial reality fell into my lap. I do have one sibling who does help some, but I've really taken kind of the financial side of things is my wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. Well, not wheelhouse, but it's becoming that. And so I had to learn a lot about how money works. I had to figure out what my parents had saved, where it was, you know, figure out what they had in terms of life insurance. And in talking to some friends and then some professionals in my community, I realized that they hadn't done a ton of planning. And that got me thinking a lot about my situation and realizing I haven't done a ton of planning. And I'm not really, you know, at that point in time, and even today, I think figuring out where is my money going? What am I putting it towards? And trying to figure out how I can use it most effectively.
Yeah, that is a big plot twist. Mm-hmm. And so your dad sadly passed away, correct?
Right. So yeah, in March of 22, he did pass away. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. So you have, this is a lot. Like, I don't think we've had a show where in 24 months, I think it is, give or take, it seems like.
Right.
That your parents got sick, you become in charge of your mom's finances because, correct, if you... Right. Have a major health issue, and it's different for every person. Oftentimes handling the finances becomes too much, whether it becomes too much and they identify it too much, or you identify that they're not capable of being in charge of it and things will get missed and there'll be mistakes made because they're just not able to focus on it. Until you experience a real health issue, sometimes people don't understand, but when you're sick or you have a health problem, usually then taking care of your finances is not the best decision because you're really focused on your health. And sometimes the medicines you're taking create critical thinking issues. And right, there's all these reasons why if you're experiencing a health problem, you maybe shouldn't be handling the finances like other things. So now feels like you got married, you know, you had a wedding, you bought a house, your husband lost his job, you lost your dad, inherited money, and now in charge of taking care of your mother's finances because she's having health issues.
Yes, that's a great summary. Right. And on top of that, I'm kind of wrestling with, I was in a program to complete a master's in counseling when my dad and mom both had some of their health issues come up. Okay. And so as a result of those, their care needs, I did take a pause in my studies.
Okay.
And which was 100% the right choice at the time. Mm-hmm. And now I'm looking at going back. I'm so close to finishing. I am, you know, 7 credits short and a few hours. Yeah. And a few, 100 or so hours of some, you know, kind of practicum therapy sessions. Mm-hmm. So I'm right there. You know, I'm looking at going back in January to finish those hours and thinking that might necessitate that I step back from my current role just to be able to balance everything. So that's in the back of my mind also.
Yeah, this is a lot. But I do think that sometimes life happens this way where it's like feast or famine, you know, like everything kind of happens at once.
Right.
So this will be a great learning opportunity. So why don't we start with, if that's okay. So your dad passed away and left you an IRA, because I have, and just to keep it simple for the listeners, you have a very detailed spreadsheet, which is super helpful, but I'm not going to run through everything. I think maybe for you, which you're going to do a little bit differently than we do for our normal show, I think we should start with your dad passing and what that looks like for you financially. Mm-hmm. And then I think we should talk about your mom.
Okay.
And then I think we should talk about you, because you're doing all three. Does that work?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
Okay. So your dad had an IRA that he left to you and your sibling, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this brings up a very interesting point. I think it's very interesting. Did you know anything about an inherited IRA before this happened?
No, I've learned as I've gone along. It was new to me.
So most people don't know this, and I think this is a super important thing. So before the Secure Act, there was this thing called the Stretch IRA. So depending on the date of death, and your father passed away after the new legislation, so before the new legislation, you would have been, and your sibling, it would have been split, would have been allowed to keep the IRA for your lifetime with minimal distributions. It's called required minimum distributions when you have an IRA. IRAs, in this case, we're talking about a traditional IRA, meaning that the account was tax deferred. It went in pre-tax. The monies have been tax deferred. So therefore, nothing in this account has paid tax. So pre the Secure Act, the legislation change, you would have taken required minimum distributions based on your age, and it would have been called what is a stretch IRA, and you would have been able to stretch it out over your lifetime and then use the majority of it for your retirement. That got changed. That did not make news. So most people were never aware of the fact that now if you inherit something from an aunt or uncle or a father or a mother, anybody other than your spouse, for the most part, that's a generalization. We can put the flowchart up of the rules, but high level, most people are going to fall either into spouse or non-spouse. Most people, not all, but a majority. After the Secure Act was passed, which is when your dad passed away, after that, you now have an inherited IRA as a non-spouse, and you're going to be obligated to take those monies out by the 10th year, 1231 of the 10th year following the death of the year of death. So you have 10 years to distribute it. And so it depends on your tax situation. And so in which case, I'm not a tax advisor, so you should consult a tax professional, but a lot of people take it evenly over 10 years, right? They take 1/10 a year. You have a little, I'm assuming you're doing married filing joint?
Correct, we are.
Okay. So you're going to have 3 months of this year where your husband doesn't have income, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And then you also might go back to school starting next year.
Yes, exactly. And that might be roughly 5 to 6 months. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's hypothesize here. So this year because we don't know what will happen. We think you'll probably have less income this year because you'll have 3 months and your husband has the higher earnings. So you'll have 3 months less of higher earnings. And then next year, you'll have 5 to 6 months less of income if you take a step back to go to school.
Right.
Okay. So if I were in your shoes, I would meet with a tax professional and mock up taking some more rather than doing 1/10, 1/10, 1/10, right, for the 10 years evenly, so 10% a year. I would evaluate, should you take more this year and next year, because you're going to be potentially having less income, therefore paying less tax, and that could be the difference.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, that does. Because in the back of my mind, I've been wondering, I heard about the 10 years and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of money to get out of that account in 10 years and do it strategically.
Correct. You always want to be strategic. And so, yes, I agree. And so some people just, and I will say with a professional, let's say you use a CPA, you have to pay for their time. That's fine. If you don't have to pay for someone's time, I would question that, right?
sure.
So pay for their time. And I would just say, this is about what our income is going to be this year. Because you can take it, remember the tax year closes on December 31st. So you could say, okay, tell me what happens if we take 15% this year, 15% next year, and then the remainder over the following year. Mm. And then maybe it'll offset some of the taxes. So one of the issues with eliminating the stretch IRA is that you're very young to lose a parent at 36.
Mm-hmm.
so what we anticipate happening, since this is a big change to the estate planning, is that most people will lose their parents effectively. If you just look at the average life expectancy of somebody who's currently 65, how long are they going to live? And then what age would their children in theory be? Most people will be inheriting in their 40s or 50s. And that's traditionally when you're making your highest income based on studies. And so therefore you're going to pay the most tax you'll pay on the inherited IRA because you'll inherit it at your peak earnings.
That makes sense.
This didn't really make headlines. I mean, it did in our industry, but it didn't really make, you know, I didn't hear anyone being like, oh my gosh, they've eliminated this huge retirement loophole. And in fact, they did. It could always change. But anyway, I would definitely meet with the CPA and see that given your current situation and potentially next year's situation, should you be taking more out of the inherited IRA in those tax years rather than doing it just, I think the default would probably be just take 10% a year, right?
Right.
And you have you have $140,000 in the inherited IRA.
Correct. Yes. And I think last year I did take a distribution of maybe approximately $8,000 after tax from it.
Yep. So they withhold the taxes for you, or they can withhold the taxes for you. So when you take the distribution, they'll withhold taxes for you. Once again, the CPA who's doing your return can advise on how much to withhold. But I would investigate taking a bit more this year and then next year and have, you know, run that by the tax professional to see if that will benefit you from a tax standpoint.
Okay. And I think hearing you say that makes a lot of sense too. I mean, hopefully upon completion of my degree program, there's a good chance that my income could also bump significantly, especially if I leave nonprofit land at some point.
Yes.
So that kind of makes me think taking out more now makes sense for that reason too.
Right, because anything you take out of the inherited IRA is income to you. Well, it is taxed like income. Right. So
okay.
It's not capital gains. It's going to be taxed like ordinary income.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would investigate that. The other thing you can do with the inherited IRA that we can talk about, you know, flag to come back to when we talk about your financial situation is you have to liquidate it, right? Like this isn't a choice. And so let's say in the next couple of years, you could always take it out and then you pay the taxes and the money left over, we could do a couple of things with. We could fund a retirement account for you, like a Roth IRA, or we could max out your work plan, right? Because those dollars offset each other. So if you're taking, does this make sense? So if you're taking $10,000 out of your inherited IRA, that goes in on income, but then you put $10,000 into your...
I think I've got a 403B.
You have a 403B. Yes. Okay. So then you put $10,000 into your 403B. It almost negates each other. Does that make sense?
That does. I like that.
Yep. So that's a really easy way. So then, because usually the parent is leaving the child the money to help them with their financial situation. And even though you can't keep this IRA like you used to for your retirement, we could effectively use it for your retirement by taking the distribution because it's mandated out of your dad's IRA and then doing the same contribution into your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And then once again, yes. The CPA, you should say to the CPA, this is what I'd like to do. I'm going to take, you know, $10,000 over here. I'll put $10,000 in my 403B and that should about negate itself. We have to confirm it with the CPA, but does that logic make sense?
It does. It does. I guess I have maybe an elementary question about that.
Sure.
In terms of putting that $10,000 in the 403B, that would have to come from my salary. That's not something I could independently move there, right?
Correct. Yep. So this is like a little bit of a shell game, and which is why it's not suggested often. Like your CPA is going to meet with you unless you schedule a meeting, which would be my advice to schedule a meeting before the end of the year. You meet with your CPA in April of the year following, right? So they're never going to suggest this because you missed the window.
Right.
They're doing your tax return for the prior year. So they're not going to say, it doesn't make any sense to say, well, you should have done ABC.
Right.
Because the year has closed. You meet with them in April, let's say, or March of 2024, and you should have done it by December 31st of 2023.
Okay. Sure.
So that's why you really need the tax professional to meet with them like in advance. And I will say that most people don't have a strategy meeting with their CPA. they just meet with them after the year has closed. Therefore, we can do nothing about it, right? The year has closed. Mm. So this a lot, because you have a lot going on, which means it's, I believe it'll be worthwhile to pay for the tax advice, and it needs to be done in advance of the tax year ending. Otherwise you can't take advantage of it. So what you would, this is how it would work. The way I would structure it, you are going to lose, let's just use $12,000 as a round number.
Okay.
So you're losing $1,000 from your paycheck in theory. It's not a full thousand because it's pre-tax, right? So let's say you lose $750. Then you get a distribution. We'll just use monthly, just keep it really easy. You get a distribution from the inherited IRA for $750. So you miss $750 from your paycheck, but you get a deposit in your checking account from the inherited IRA for $750. So it's a wash.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I like this. I hadn't thought about it that way before.
Most people don't think about it. And the reason why I like this, you know, I don't know your dad. I don't know the intention. But my assumption with the intention of leaving you money was to better your financial situation. So we just have to get around the new law change, which is basically making you liquidate this account when, and I don't even know if your dad was aware of the rules, but your dad might have assumed that his IRA then became your IRA for your retirement. That would be the logical assumption if you weren't up to date on the rules. And now the government's forcing you to take it. So how do we get around that? Well, you have your own work retirement plan. So why don't we just contribute to your work retirement plan the amount that you have to take out of your dad's? And then in theory, you should end up with, give or take, over this time frame, you know, over 10 years, if we're putting $10,000 in, $100,000 contributed.
Wow.
So we're,
that would be amazing.
We're just moving it, right? So now it's on your net worth statement as inherited IRA. And then over 10 years, it's a long time. Instead of the inherited IRA is going to go to zero because it's mandated by law to be zero. But then your 403B goes up by that exact contribution amount, give or take.
Okay. Right.
But you can't just, the easy thing, but the government never makes, like, it is never easy in retirement land. We're over here in retirement land. We have lots of rules. Not easy, as you know, because one of your other questions is like pre-tax versus Roth versus traditional. Like, it's not easy. So the easy thing would be like, I don't want the $140,000. I'm just going to move that right into my 403B. But we can't do that. You're not allowed to do that.
Right.
So instead, we do effectively that by taking the distribution that's mandated by law out of the inherited IRA and then increasing your contribution to your work plan. So you still have the same amount of money to live on, but the $1,000 or $750, whatever we want to call it, is from your dad's inherited IRA that's missing from your paycheck, but it's the same amount of money that you're living on.
Right.
Our next partner is AG1, the daily foundational nutrition supplement that supports whole body health. I drink it literally every day. I gave AG1 a try because I was tired of taking so many supplements and I wanted a simple solution to boost my immune system support. I take it first thing in the morning before I even have my coffee and it makes me feel ready to take on the day. As a very busy entrepreneur and with recent health challenges, it is super important that I'm able to get immune system support because I don't have time to get sick. If you're looking for a simpler, effective investment for your health, try AG1 and get 5 free AG1 travel packs and a free 1-year supply of vitamin D with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out today.
No, this makes a lot of sense. And maybe this is something we'll get into in a little bit, but I'm wondering then that money that I'm putting into my work plan, what bucket would be most advantageous since I guess I've paid tax to take it out of the inherited IRA? Would I put it into a Roth bucket or a pre-tax bucket of the 403B?
So if you want to do an exact swap, right? Meaning that like it's a neutralized thing. You would do the pre-tax because you're paying tax on the other side and then you're doing the pre-tax.
Okay.
If you're willing to take a little bit more. So basically you have the additional 10,000 coming in on your income, but you've lowered your income by 10,000 by contributing.
Okay.
So that's a wash in theory. If you do the Roth option, that's fine, but you're not lowering your income by doing the Roth.
Okay.
And then on top of your income, you then have the contribution or the distribution from your dad's, which is fine. We're going to withhold tax on that, or you should have taxes withheld. But you haven't effectively lowered your income by doing the contribution because it's a Roth and it's after tax.
Okay.
And so this is where the CPA should say, if you do the pre-tax, you know, I would recommend the pre-tax because therefore you're staying below this threshold because the lower tax bracket, because remember we have an incremental tax system, right? So you step up, your first dollar makes zero, your last dollar makes the most. We take the average, right? So you have an average, so it's an increment, like a staircase. The higher you move up on the staircase, the more you pay in tax. But you pay the average because your first dollars pay zero. So maybe the CPA says, okay, well, if you do the Roth, you're going to be in this next bracket. And so you've stepped up in the tax threshold. So I would recommend the pre-tax because you stay below this threshold. That gets a little bit more into tax strategy. But the concept is we can use the inherited IRA to increase. And maybe I just, we haven't gone through all of your finances yet, but if your dad left it for you to have it for retirement, we can figure a way to do it, even with the new laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, no, I like this. I hadn't thought about putting it in my work retirement account. So this is definitely helpful.
And it doesn't mean you have to do it every year either, right? So like we could say for this year and next year, because we have 3 months without your husband's income, and next year you're going to school, you might need extra income, and then you're going to get a higher paying job. And let's say you leave nonprofit land, so then you have a 401k. So you could just do it for the remaining years. We'll just say it's 7 years left after we get through these two things.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just keep that in the back of your mind, because people don't ever, I don't see people do that often. They just immediately distribute the IRA. They puts it in their checking account. It somehow gets spent. We don't know where it went. And then, that's what happens.
It does. Yeah. Yeah.
You just have like extra money. And then, and then at the end of 10 years, you're like, man, I don't know where that 140 went.
Right. Right.
So this is a way that even if the whole 140 doesn't end up in your retirement account, but if we get 100 in there, right? That's great. That's a lot of money for retirement.
Sure.
Okay, so that's inherited IRAs and that you have from your dad. Now, your mom, you've taken over her finances.
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's also on the spreadsheet. And it looks like your mom has an investment account. And I don't know Correct. If that's an IRA or not an IRA.
I believe that is with, you're referring to the Edward Jones account?
Yes. Do you know what type of account it is?
Yes, I also believe it's an IRA as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you have a trust account.
Yes.
What kind of trust?
So we set the trust up in August of 22. So we're also cresting a year there. And my mom and dad did own a property together. That property was sold in February of this year. Okay. And so all the funds from that property went into the trust.
Perfect.
We did a little bit of planning with an estate attorney, and the focus was looking forward towards a Medicaid application for my mom.
Yes.
And so that after
the Medicaid protection trust.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask a few questions. So the first account that your mom has is definitively an IRA.
Yes, it is. Uh-huh.
And how old is your mother?
My mom will turn 70 in December.
Okay. And then does your mom own a primary residence?
No. So that was the primary residence that was sold. My mom is now in an assisted living facility.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And how is the assisted living facility being paid?
So thankfully, my dad served and he was stationed in Korea and was exposed to Agent Orange. So there are some funds that my mom has started to receive from the VA. And so that is roughly $2,000 a month as the surviving spouse. And then my mom's Social Security was higher than my dad's. So she is receiving, I think, getting about $2,600 a month. Okay. So that pretty much covers her living expenses at the assisted living location. And then she does have medical, a lot of doctor's appointments, a lot of medicines, et cetera. So all that totaled comes to about $2,000 to $2,500 a month after insurance and et cetera. So that is kind of what my mom is paying out each month. And my dad did have a life insurance policy. He worked for the post office. And so that's kind of been sitting in her bank account. We've been working down from that. So she probably has
How much is in there?
I believe about 18,000.
Okay. How much was in there? How much was the policy?
The policy was originally about 60.
Okay. I'm curious, I'm curious why the recommendation wasn't made to spend down the IRA versus the life insurance money.
Oh, I didn't ask about it. That's a good question.
Yeah, because the life insurance money could have been put in the trust. Mm-hmm. The IRA cannot. Mm-hmm. And your mom, who's filing? Are you doing her tax return for her?
I am, correct.
So you should get a medical write-off, anything in excess of 7.5% of AGI, which means the IRA wouldn't really pay any tax on distributions.
Okay.
You need a CPA, like, today.
Okay.
$18,000 isn't going to probably move the needle a lot. But once again, if you think about it from the perspective of tax, we're doing a lot of tax, and I'm not a tax professional, but some tax strategy we do as CFPs, and then you just have to confirm and get the finalized numbers from a CPA. But assisted living should qualify as a medical expense, right? She's there because of medical needs. She also is spending $2,500 just on copays and medicines. And so I would think your mother would meet the qualification for spending more than 7.5% of her adjusted gross income. So therefore, you shouldn't be paying very much in tax on the IRA, unlike the situation we just talked about with you, right? You're going to pay tax on those IRA distributions, because I don't know why there isn't like a break for, like, if you use it for the honeymoon, like, no tax. But if you're using it for medical, which is nobody saves and works their entire life to spend it on a nursing home. That's nobody's goal. I've never had anyone come in and been like, I want to spend all my money on medicine. Nobody wants that. So they do. Mm-hmm. There is a bit of a tax break for that, right? Because nobody wants. The government does give you a tax break. So I talked to you earlier. My recommendation would have been to put all of the money, or at least the majority of the life insurance, in the trust, because it's protected, and spend down the IRA. Okay. Because if you inherit the IRA, you're going to pay a lot in tax. And if you inherit the trust monies and the life insurance money, you will pay next to nothing in tax.
Right.
So let's spend the most expensive dollar. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Right. So
that,
like,
does. Yeah.
If you're spending it on medical, then your mother will be paying very little tax on that IRA distribution.
Okay. Okay.
So hindsight's 2020, obviously. I don't know if it's worth it. I would ask a CPA if it's worth it to switch the distributions to the IRA instead of taking it from the bank account and then throw that money in the trust.
Okay.
What they're going to say, probably, did the estate attorney say that the IRA is protected? Is that word used?
In terms of protected from, like,
Medicaid,
a bank, you know, I don't think it is, actually. I think it's considered that it would have to be a liquidated asset also.
So this is, I would also check that. So there are usually when you're doing a Medicaid application, they view assets versus income. I haven't done this in a little bit, but, and so basically your mother will have to start taking required minimum distributions, I believe, at age, they're rolling it back. So I don't know her year of birth, but let's say
1953.
So right now, so when it's in distribution status, does that make sense? So when it's under RMD and you have the mandatory distribution, it's viewed as income. And so what they can do, and this is state specific. So I know New York State really well. I do not know Kansas. I've never done Kansas. So that, once again, you need, this is high level of what, how estate planning, how Medicaid works, but you have to consult with you definitely definitively need a CPA. And then I would also get, or ask your, whoever did the trust, right, was an estate planning attorney, correct?
Right, correct.
Okay, so I would have, and sometimes when you do this, it is reviewed, but you're going through a lot, and it's the first time you've ever heard a lot of these words, these strategies. This is not something you go through, and it's most certainly not something you usually go through at your age. So they could have reviewed it, but basically the way Medicaid will view the asset is either it's distribution mode or not distribution mode. So let's just assume it's in distribution mode. It's under RMD. RMD is based on the factor table. They have an IRS factor table. When it is being reviewed for nursing home, right, for a Medicaid eligibility, they are going to switch. And I have found most attorneys miss this delineation here, which is, everybody assumes they're using the IRS RMD factor table. They will then switch from that factor table to what is called the Social Security actuarial table, which is true life expectancy. The RMD table has you living to be, I think, 115 years old. I haven't seen the latest one. Yeah, it's quite generous, if you will. They think you're going to live a long time. The Social Security actuarial table is not so favorable at all. They have you living to be in your 80s. So they base the distribution. They can switch the distribution table they're using. So if that's something that I'll hear attorneys say, like, oh, we just take whatever the distribution is. And I'm like, what table are you using? And they're like, oh, the actuarial table. And I'm like, okay, well, the client thinks you're using the factor table. So the tables are, you know, we have about a 25-year age difference here with those. It's a big difference. So the percentage you're taking out is significantly higher if you're using the Social Security actuarial table. Anyhow, what that means is the IRA should have some protection. I don't know if this is state specific, so that you need to find this out from the attorney. So if it does have some protection, I would still liquidate the IRA because you're going to pay nothing in tax versus if you inherit it, you'll pay tax.
Okay.
So just this is something that I can't tell you for sure, but I would definitely run this by the attorney.
Okay.
And also you want to understand the stuff in advance of there being another problem, right? Of your mom. So the assisted living facility, do they have a step up where you go from assisted living and then as you advance or need advanced care, you stay in that same facility, or would your mom have to be moved?
We would have to move.
Got it. Okay. So, okay. That would be my question, is understanding how the Medicaid, so they didn't go through anything with the IRA for Medicaid.
You know, it's very likely that he did. And I think, like you were saying, it was kind of drinking from a fire hose when we were doing it. Because I do remember him recommending, let's put the life insurance policy payout into the trust. And I think at the time with everything and wedding planning, it just didn't happen.
Got it. Okay. Okay. So that was his recommendation, was to put it in the trust.
Exactly.
Would have been my recommendation as well. Okay. That's fine. You can leave it as is. I do think you need to find out how it works in Kansas for the IRA for Medicaid eligibility. So once it's in payout, so the IRA then would be in payout status when your mom reaches RMD age, and confirming that they're going to be using the Social Security actuarial table and not the IRS factor table.
Okay. Okay.
The great thing is this is recorded, so you could just re-listen to this.
Perfect. Yes, that's what I need to do.
Okay, because this is a lot. And then that way you also know that there is some protection on the IRA, because they can't. And knowing that, like, you just knowing that is very important, because what do you know what a nursing home runs in your area if your mom needed to still?
Oh. If we go like full on, it's at least 10 grand, because we were looking at that with my dad at the very end. So, and I imagine inflation and, you know, et cetera, probably by the time she gets to that point, which could be tomorrow or it could be 3 or 4 years from now, but it would definitely be more.
Yeah. And then, and her income is 4,600. So,
right.
So there's going to be a gap. So what most people will do, and this is why it's so important you have the attorney, is they'll just take the money from the IRA, but you don't have to take. So that's where you need to find out what table are they using. I believe it's going to be the Social Security actuarial table. And are you obligated to take anything more than that? And if you're not, then I wouldn't. But when the nursing home isn't going to tell you that, they're not going to be like, you don't actually have to take the money out, right?
Sure. Right.
Right. So I would ask those questions now, because then you're in a clear state of mind. There isn't an emergency with trying to get your mom into a facility and seeing where the beds are open and getting the application. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. So I would do that now so that you know, how is Kansas and that county handling the IRAs, and what table are they using? And do you have an obligation to distribute more than the, I'm assuming you're going to have to use the Social Security actuarial table.
Okay. I've got a question. I'm not sure. I'm going to try and frame it, but
okay.
So like if the IRA is not protected, or let's say she does need to like liquidate that money, is that something we should kind of put the gas on now to get that money out of there sooner rather than later? I don't know if I'm framing that correctly, but
so for like the IRA, like, does it make sense to, So here's the problem. Did they tell you what how long it takes for the trust to seal?
5 years.
Yeah, it's a 60-month look back. Okay, yes, so what that means is if you gift your money in anticipation of infirmary, meaning you're hiding your money so that you don't have to pay for your care, they can claw it back within 60 months.
Right.
So you have to leave first of all, it's radical surgery. If the trust had been done 5 years ago, you'd have.
I know.
And it's monthly, right? It's not years. That's the 60 months mm-hmm. is a very different definition than 5 years. So it means every month literally counts until you get to month 60. And then that trust seals, and then that 350 is protected. Mm-hmm. So you might have to spend down more of the IRA. So the longer your mom stays in the assisted living facility, the better. Right.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. her income is covering the majority of that cost. Right. And the
correct cost
monthly more than doubles if she needs a nursing home.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, one would argue. So the flip side of this, one would argue is it's your mother's money. And if it needs to be used for her care, it can be used for her care. And I agree with that as well. But mm-hmm. nursing homes are very, very expensive. And most people don't want to see their hard earned money spent that way. I think that every month you get closer to the 60 month, the better. Once it seals, you could then really push back on taking anything more than you're legally obligated to take from the IRA.
Okay. Because the trust or the IRA funds are held with Edward Jones. And I think the trust is now with, it just transferred. I can't remember. It was with, I'm blanking now. But so those are in a separate place.
Why are they separate?
Well, so the trust was set up through the attorney. And when my dad got sick, the funds with the IRA, I brought in my parents' retirement accounts into Edward Jones. And so they each had their own IRA set up there. And then the house that they had together was what was sold and moved into the trust.
And who's managing the trust assets?
The attorney who set up the trust.
He's investing
their office.
Them?
Well, their office has, I think, a separate financial advising component to it. So the deal there was their office would then assist with a Medicaid application when that time comes, if those funds remain there. And I was, at least at the time looking at it, I saw that those applications could get very expensive were a decent amount of assets involved.
Okay, next question for you. So you're paying the attorney a fee to draft it, then you're paying the affiliated financial advisor a fee to manage it, correct?
Yes.
Because you did pay a set fee for the trust itself, a separate fee.
Right, exactly. Separate fee, correct.
Okay, and then you're paying a fee for the investments, which is technically a separate company.
I believe so, as I understood it.
Okay, so let me just double check something. So who is the trustee of the trust? I'm assuming it's you.
My sister and myself.
Who's the contingent? So you guys are joint, but you can make decisions separately. You're not tied to each other. Is that correct?
We have to make them jointly.
Mm-hmm. You do have to make them jointly. Okay. And then so who's the contingent trustee? Who's the backup?
I believe either my spouse or my sister's husband.
Okay. I would check that.
Okay.
And then to confirm, you are both, it's 50-50 for the beneficiaries of the trust for you and your sister?
Yes, 50-50 is for the beneficiary on the trust and then on the IRA as well.
Mm-hmm. Perfect, okay. And there's no other assets, correct? There's nothing that would go through probate?
So there would be a car that my mom owns, but that would be it.
Yeah, that won't trigger probate. That would be usually a small estate exemption. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the $18,000 in the bank account.
I'd have to check Kansas's law, but usually that would also fall underneath a small estate exemption.
Okay.
They range between 30 and 50. Usually we could double check that.
Oh, great.
Yeah, you go to probate if it's real property, which you don't have because the house is sold. If it's over a certain threshold determined per state, but like New York is 50, anything below that, you can do a small estate exemption and basically do it yourself. It's really fast. You just don't want to have to go through probate. The reason I'm asking you these questions, I don't know your attorney. Uh-huh. I don't know their firm. I see a lot of awful things. Like, for instance, the contingent trustee being the attorney's wife is an example.
Oh.
Yeah, for a fee.
Okay.
So I just like to ask because people will say, oh, it's my husband. And then you actually go and look and it's Mrs. Wife Attorney.
Okay, sure.
So you just want to definitely double check all your, you always want to double check the docs. What the attorney's office would say in response to that is you didn't provide us someone. So that's our default.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I feel pretty sure it's one and or both of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would just review the document.
Okay. Sure.
And then I would definitely review with the attorney for your area. Cause it can be specific. I don't know. I just don't know Kansas, but that you're going to be using the Social Security actuarial tables for the distribution, and that once the IRA is in what's called payout status for Medicaid eligibility, you are not obligated to pay more than that.
Okay.
Because it's always good to like get the understanding now when it's happening, it's so overwhelming. If God forbid your mom needs that advanced care,
right?
And you're moving her. Because as you know, what you've already experienced, everything always happens at once. And so the timing probably won't be yes. ideal. And so then you're trying to figure out what legally you have to do. And you're trying to find your, it becomes very overwhelming. So I think it would be good to get to understand how it would work now when there isn't a problem, because it's easier. Mm-hmm. You have time. You could do it on a weekend morning. There's no emergencies. Everything's running smoothly. This is the time to like know the plan, figure out the plan now.
Right. Yeah, this is all really helpful because it was so much at once. And so yes. I'm grateful to chat with you today because it's giving me some additional perspective on preparing for what's next.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.